You're listening to the Remorseless Podcast. Hey guys, what's up? It's Beth Fisher. Welcome to episode number 31. Today, I have a very special guest, a three-time Grammy nominee, unbelievable woman who is completely transparent in some of the mishaps that she has partaken, over the course of her 65 years on this earth. So Michelle Pillar, you guys, is an incredible woman who, did I mention, three-time Grammy nominee? So her voice is absolutely beautiful. She sings a song entitled Untangled, which is also the title of her book, Untangled, The Truth Will Set You Free. On this episode, you're going to hear Michelle talk about the things in life that she chose to do that she has deep regret for. She has worked hard to overcome those things, to come out on the other side, and just to give back. So she's got some really great advice on this episode for women, specifically in their 20s and 30s. She said, and I love this part, even in their 40s. I went, okay, Michelle, you're talking to me. So without further ado, you guys, please join me today, this week, in welcoming Michelle Pillar to the show. Thank you for joining us today on Remorselessly Biblical. I'm really glad you're here.
Thank you, Beth. It's great to be with you.
Yes. And as I was saying to you just a little bit ago, when I started to read your story, I was immediately moved. And this is what God does through each and every one of us. We know we're all made in his image, but the things that he uncovers for us along the points of our journey, the people that he brings in our lives at just the right time. That's what I always tell our viewers and listeners is, it's not us, you guys. It's not us.
No, I mean, we're all his handiwork, you know, if we'll allow it, and to whatever degree we allow it, we truly are his handiwork. And for decades, I thought that I had to somehow protect God's impeccable reputation by trying to be something I wasn't. Yes. I really was. And it sounds funny, but I was almost feeling like I had to protect him. I knew I was flawed, but I didn't want anybody else to know. Yeah. And even though Paul tells us in scripture that, you know, God is made strong through our weakness, I didn't know how to translate that. I think it's because I was still so broken. Yes. I wasn't comfortable being transparent at that point.
Yes. Yeah. So let's start there. If you could share a little bit with whatever you're comfortable in terms of your brokenness. You know, I read your story and I watched you on Dr. Phil. People, she was on Dr. Phil. This is interesting. you know, I just thought, How did that happen, by the way?
It's a long, crazy story, but it's definitely a God story. I mean, who would ever guess that Dr. Phil would read my little book? And my book is called Untangled, and he read it. But the reason why he read it, I'll tell you the real quick version, is because someone who read my book contacted me. And I won't go into detail about the whole story of that and the twists and turns of it, but I can tell you this much. When this person contacted me, it was not all on the up and up. Mm-hmm. And so when I kind of got untangled from that, from this communication I was having, I realized that this person needed serious help. We all need help, but this person was in dire straits of needing help. And she started, when I kind of got untwisted from the whole thing, she begged me for help. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you really want help? Because I said, I can't help you with the level of help you need, but I think I know who can. And so I disconnected contact with this person and I reached out to Dr. Phil. I'd never done that. I just went on his website, little old me, you know, said, tell your story. And I clicked on it and I told the production staff, my story. Well, all that said, that show actually wanted to happen, but didn't happen.
Oh, I see.
And so we all did everything we could, but it did not happen. And so in the meantime, Dr. Phil read Untangled and said, hey, you know what, Michelle, even though, that story didn't pan out. I still want to talk to you about that book. I want to talk to you about how God untangles somebody. This is what he actually said to me. I want to know your story. I want to know your life. I want to really know how you started off the way you started as a child and ended up whole and complete. I want to hear about it.
I love that.
And I said, are you sure? I actually said, are you sure? Because I'll have to talk about Jesus. You know, I said, there's no way to make this user-friendly. I'm going to have to talk about Jesus. I mean, I wasn't trying to be, you know, sarcastic. I was being honest because he was so honest.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful man, beautiful man. And so he said, yeah, I really want you to talk about that. And I said, okay.
Well, even at the end of your interview, he said, God bless you. You know, I was really wowed by that. And I love two things about what you just shared. One is that you were trying to help someone else. Uh-huh. And these are how often, and I share this here a lot in the show, that doors open. And when people say, I'm stuck in my life, I don't know what to do, I don't know who I am, I don't, so on and so forth, I always say, the quickest way out to get through it is to do for somebody else, to help somebody else.
Good point.
And then God just opens the doors and puts us where we're supposed to be. But then the second point to Dr. Phil, when you said, are you sure? Even on Life Network for Women, when they asked me if I wanted to be a contributor here, because I'm like, yes, I want to talk about God. I can't stop talking about God and people and stories. But I said, are you guys sure? Like, I sometimes go off script a little bit. And I sometimes, like, I'm the girl that always says, you know, you're not going to hell for saying hell. Like, are you sure? Because I don't know how to be super evangelical, but that's the thing. I hate labels. I think God transcends labels. I think he is all about being in relationship with us and let the, you know, we are the ones with the self-made narratives and the constructs and the things that sort of hold us back, not only ourselves, but then we judge others. So I could just go on about this, but not about me.
No, it's true. It's all true. And so it's funny is when I wrote the book to begin with, when I wrote the book Untangled, I felt like the Lord it was decades after I had spent a lot of time in alone with the Lord. Well, let me go back. I started as a recording artist. So you got Grammy nominations on the wall.
I know.
And that was all fine. I loved God. I sang about the Lord. My heart was sincere, but I was extremely broken and I had baby Christian roots. My root system in faith was very shallow and I was catapulted into a recording career, which isn't unlike most recording artists are very young.
Yeah.
I mean, the recording world is for the young, you know, and you have kind of a shelf life on that life. And so you're running as fast as you can with this opportunity to be a major recording artist. I love singing about Jesus and all that, but because my root system was so shallow, I was certainly set up to fail. Not by anybody else, but just by the whole circumstance.
Yeah.
There's no way I wasn't going to fall.
Sure, sure.
And I did. I did. Right at the pinnacle of my recording career, when I was on the cover of Today's Christian Woman, mm-hmm. I had just been on the Grammy Awards and I was out with Billy Graham with the Crusades. I had an affair with a married man. Okay. So why does somebody wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll absolutely turn my life upside down and ruin everything? Why do they do that? Why do they do that? That's the big question. Because I confused myself and the whole world when I did what I did. But looking back, what I realized is a couple of things. First of all, I was exhausted. Mm. I was spiritually exhausted. I was physically exhausted. I was emotionally exhausted. I was doing 200 concerts a year. And by that point, even though my love for God was great, everything was out of whack. And that's the first thing that will set you up for something as catastrophic as making a decision, like having an affair, because guess what? Having an affair doesn't fix anything. It only makes everything worse.
Amen.
The other thing I believe is that I don't think women or men actually have affairs for sexual reasons. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I think you have an affair because you've lost your voice. You've lost your position somehow. You've lost your self-respect. You've whatever's going on in your life, you feel powerless and tired and exhausted. And you're angry, whatever those reasons are. That's why people have affairs, right? And so I did, and I lost everything. And in chapter one of my book, I talk about where I was the night I realized I had no friends. I had no record deal. I had no ministry. And I was back at my mother's house, sitting on the bed I had hidden under as a little girl to get away from her yardsticks and coat hangers when she drank.
Yeah. And isn't that the point of your story where you said you just thought about taking just a handful of pills because you were like, it's better. I can't deal with all of this. It's just better if I'm not here. Didn't you get to that point, Michelle?
Oh, I did. And I was holding the pills. And this is what's so tragic. It's great that I'm still here, but here's what's so tragic about that moment. it's so sad when you have placed so much hope and so much of your self-worth on things that can be taken away. Whether that's your looks, whether that's your job, whether that's a relationship with someone you just think you can't live without. Mm-hmm. And then all of those things can be taken away. They're all perishable. And there I was, I felt like a liability. I felt like a disappointment to everybody, even to God. And I felt like I was worth nothing because everything that I had my self-worth, you know, sitting on was gone. And that's not where God wants us to be. It's too fragile. We're too fragile for that. And so, yeah, I prayed, right? I had a kind of, you'll have to read it, but I had a face off. I had a face off with the darkness, and it's never happened again. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't asleep. I wasn't on drugs, but I had a conversation with the darkness, and the darkness was trying to talk me into taking the pills. And I prayed one more time. I said, Jesus, I don't want to do this, but I don't know what else to do. And I can't find you right now. I've sung about you. I've loved you. I gave my all these years to you, just telling the whole world about you. I can't find you. And I felt God's presence sit down next to me on that bed. I literally felt an impression on the bed. I was in the dark and it scared me. And then the Lord began to tell me where I was and what he wanted from me. And basically he just said, Michelle, I want all the things you've never known how to give me. You've only given me the stuff you knew how to give me, but there's a whole bunch of tangles that you haven't a clue. So you're finally where I want you to be. You're not ready to die. You're ready to live. It's time for you to live. And so losing my recording career and all that was the best thing that, in retrospect, that could have ever happened to me.
Wow. And isn't that the story? Thank you for sharing so much of that. It's the story of hitting rock bottom and saying, even to your point, you were a believer, you're singing about God, you're saying the words, and yet you can't find him. And so it feels a little bit imposterish. I'm sure guilt stricken, guilt ridden. But I want to go back. One of the things that you said that just popped in my mind when you were speaking about you feel like when people have affairs, it's often not, probably usually not for sexual reasons. It's because you feel like somebody lost their voice. And what irony, you're singing. You have a beautiful voice. You're using your voice on stage for thousands of people around the country. And yet you feel like nobody sees me for who I am. Mm-mm. Isn't that crazy? And I know you're on stage with Billy Graham and just in the moment. And I think a lot of our viewers feel this way. A lot of believers feel this way. We know that people are leaving the church in droves. And it's not because we aren't believers. It's not because we don't believe in God. It's not because we are not Jesus followers. It's because we say, where are you? Where are we? Who am I? It's that whole questioning that comes into play. And that is when, to your point, decisions get made from a place not of walking in step with Jesus, but in complete contradiction to. And then we end up saying, wow, I need to pull myself out of this. And it's never by our own strength. It's just not.
No, and to your point, I get that people are leaving the church in droves, and some of that is absolutely, I mean, frankly, it's merited.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, we weren't created to walk alone. And when we do walk alone, we're just not smart enough to counsel ourselves off of these ledges and off of these places, you know, theologically, emotionally, spiritually. We need one. And I need someone like you in my life. I need someone like you in my life to shoot straight with me and say, hey, Michelle, right here, you're losing it.
Yep.
Like you need to draw close to God right here. Here, let me show you some scriptures. Let me remind you of the truth of the Lord. Let me remind you who you are in the Lord. And let me remind you that you don't get to make it up as you go. I think that's what scares me about people getting too far out there on their own. They want to go, you know, their own way and kind of like as if they're going to discover something all of us didn't know before or nobody knew before.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it's real egotistical to think that I'm going to just drift off into the waters by myself and I'm going to have this discovery of God that other people just can't seem to get right.
Like you're Magellan.
Yeah, like that's crazy.
Yeah,
because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get out there in the deep end, and then the enemy's just going to pick you off, and you're going to think you're being so smart, and you're being so theologically sound, and you're probably going to be going off a cliff.
Yeah.
And so we really do need one another, but it does need to be transparent. We need to know that God really is not offended. He's not offended or put off by our sin because he already knows who we are. He knows we're sinful. And that doesn't make it okay, but he knows we're flesh. I love the scriptures. He knows we are but flesh.
Yes.
And so we do need to be able to come together, be a little more honest and be a little more transparent. Say, hey, restoration takes a lifetime, guys. Restoration. Let's stop pretending like it's all done.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are leaving the church. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. And I think that it's so last year, obviously, you know, this is an overplayed statement, but it did such a number on us. And I think when we were in it, many of us, I work for a homeless shelter. So I'm in a nonprofit. I was there every single day. And we just kept showing up. We just kept doing and doing and doing. And so many frontline workers, right? And life just doesn't stop.
Right.
So we did not have time to grieve in the moment. We just kept on doing what needed to be done. And I think oftentimes, especially as women, we get trapped in that we should behave this way. These are the expectations. I have to just keep, you know, plugging along and getting through things. For me, I did the same thing in church. I should go to church. I should just show up. But I was disconnected. And for me, I'm a very connected person. I always ask why. I want to know the why behind things. So I became really disenchanted, not with God, not with Jesus, but with church, not big C building.
Yeah.
When I was inside of it many years ago, growing up, and I wasn't able to ask those really hard why questions. Well, Why do I have bad thoughts if God made me and he's going to be mad at me if he made me this way and I'm thinking these things, like it feels like a setup, you know?
Yeah.
And he doesn't feel like a loving God, but I'm hearing this message of a loving God. It felt very contradictory to me. And I could see the hypocrisy in the way people were living. And I'm like, I don't want any part of this, but yet that made me feel very lonely. Because we need God, because the Holy Spirit is living and breathing and active inside of us. And I think I have to figure this thing out. And I think that's where many of us are. I think we're figuring it out. I think we're deconstructing, untangling. I think we're going through all the things in our past and saying, what doesn't add up? At what point in my life did something come into my life and make me stop in my tracks and say, I have to reevaluate this? Many of us weren't allowed, right? Many generations swept that stuff under the rug.
Yeah, I've heard about that. See, I wasn't raised in church, so I didn't have to unlearn any of that. I didn't have to unlearn anything. My brokenness came from being raised, you know, by an alcoholic mother, alcoholic father, and three addictive sisters, older sisters. Addiction was all around me, eating our house alive. I saw darkness every day. I wouldn't have called it that as a kid, but you know, when your mother's running around the house with yardsticks trying to find you so she can beat you, you know, half to death. And what's odd is then she'd be really loving when she was sober. So it was really crazy. But to get back to your other point, I think all those questions are imperative to ask. We have to ask those questions, but then we have to make sure we stay rooted in the Word of God when we find the answers and not some philosophical new trend where people kind of cherry pick out of the Word of God, you know, what feels good to them and what goes with the culture and what, you know, is inclusive. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, you know, look at the centuries, look at Solomon. I mean, look at the Old Testament. People have been adopting false doctrine for centuries since the beginning of time. The first false doctrine that was ever adopted was in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. They bit the apple because they took the bait of false doctrine that the enemy fed them. Yeah. He twisted God's words and then they bit and then death came into the world. So that's my only argument with that. I think we should ask all those questions. And by the way, Beth, when I took that 10, 15 years off, I mean, it was a long time. I didn't think I'd ever be in ministry again because I didn't feel worthy to be in ministry. And yet I sat with the Lord for almost 15 years. Now I did go to church and things like that, but that's not where I became whole. I mean, it was good to go, but where I became whole is sitting alone with the Lord. And it's not easy. This is not fun. I just want to say that out front, you know, everything comes into your head. What you got to do, pick up your phone, go buy dog food. I need to lose 10. I need to lose 10 pounds. I need to get on my elliptical. What I mean? Whatever, right? I don't have time, but with God, I got to lose 10 pounds. Okay. So the thing is for 15 years, seriously, I sat alone with the Lord. What I did is I started making lists of my questions. I started making lists of things my mother said to me and things she did to me. Think men that I was with that I should have never been with. Why did I date the guy 8 years older than me? Why did I... And I started making lists of, and I started coming to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, you're my wonderful counselor. So counsel me.
Yeah.
here's my list. And then I dove into the word and I sat there in prayer and I listened and I kept going back into the word and then I'd listen. And I am not kidding you. We become whole with that intimate, you know, that intimate relationship with Jesus. But we do have to be careful when we're that alone, that we stay grounded in the word.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I love that so much. When I was reading chapter one of your book, you went right to scripture. And chapter one, apropos, you started in the beginning in Genesis, and it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Mm-hmm. And that is really it. You said you took this 15-year break to spend very intimate time with God, which it's not easy. Not only does your brain go to all the running to-do lists and life, and I can't sit still, and I've got these things in my mind, and how do I focus, right? Yeah. But also, I think that our minds get carried off a little bit because we're so fearful of being found out. We have to be incredibly vulnerable. We know God knows, but there's a sense of shame that we have to untangle, unravel, get rid of, and say, I am so sorry that I made those choices. I did have a sense of deep shame and regret and remorse and all of the things for those choices that I made. And God, please still love me anyway. When you said you intended to harm me, but God intended all for good. And that we have these stories that we are at some point meant to share, but the difficulty in sitting still with the Lord and being prepared, right? Just like he prepared Moses, he prepares all of us through our experiences to go out into the world and to preach the good news and to share with people. And so I could save the lives of many people so that somebody on the show, somebody in our lives can say, wow, you really, your story stopped me from making a bad decision. You saved me from thinking differently about myself. You inspired me to show up as the person God made me to be. Aww. But it's hard sitting with God, right? Because it's vulnerable. He sees us. We know he sees us. And we're like, I'm carrying around some shame here, God, for that one when I was 15. I tell people I was rolling around in the back of a Trans Am drinking some Busch Light back in the day. I was a Midwestern girl. And I was with wrong boys too. And I was like, and I was trying to fill, we're all just trying to fill a void. And to your point, it can't be with fleeting things or things that are not permanent or can be taken from us. God is none of those things. He's infinite, eternity. He's unconditional love.
He really is. And like you were saying, to sit with God, I feel it's almost like a muscle that we have to exercise to get good at it. And I still have to do, I mean, right now I'm in the middle of Mark Batterson's 40-day prayer challenge. I love that book. I was looking for it. And I'm about day 23, and I get up every morning, go out on my porch real early with my coffee. And of course my mind's already trying to figure out why I don't have time to do it. But what he said in that book, which I love, he said, the more you have to do, the more important it is that you spend time with God in prayer and in quiet. The more you have on your plate, it's even more important to find time to pray and to get things straight, because otherwise you're going to, you know, be running around like a chicken with your head cut off. So
that's where you started, right? You said you were spiritually exhausted. You were physically, emotionally exhausted. You were doing 200. I mean, you had no time. And so that's when things get really off track. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that you said that I wanted to just comment to you real quick, and you can, you know, use this or whatever, I don't know, but it kind of hit me when you said, you know, you feel shame, you know, we come to this place of realization of what's really going on when we're honest with ourselves, then it's hard to come to the Lord. You feel shame, you feel this and that. I think it's just so important that when you do feel those things like shame, guilt, fear, like you're not enough, whatever, you're not measuring up, that you realize again, you go back into God's word, because none of that comes from God.
That's right.
And so many times people will go away from God because they feel shame. Say, well, the church has made me feel shame. Well, yeah, the church may have, but that's not who God is. So, you know, try not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I just get so concerned when I see people kind of adopting these kind of wonky theologies, because they somehow have thrown away the baby with the bathwater. They've taken all of God and thrown it out because they don't want to feel shame and they don't want to feel guilt. And that's not good either, because that's not who he is.
Not at all. Not at all. Which is to your point earlier, why it's so imperative to be immersed in scripture, because if we want to walk with God, if we want to be in relationship with him, if we want to know who he is, it tells us who he is. We just have to get there and say, yeah. Okay. I believe this narrative because I see it actually playing out in my life. We just have to show, and it's not overnight, right? Yeah. None of the stories of the folks in the Old Testament, anywhere throughout the 66 books, none of it was, oh, hey, so I met Jesus and now I'm like this amazing person who never fell down again. Look at King David, look at all of them, you know?
Well, even Solomon, I keep coming back to Solomon because he was supposed to be the wisest man in the world. And on David's deathbed, he's talking to his son and telling him everything he wants him to remember because now David gets it, right? Sure. David's finally gone the whole gamut. And he's like, don't forget this. Don't forget that, you know, keep God first, you know, all these things of just, you know, don't forget these things. It's such a beautiful passage on when David's on his deathbed. And so Solomon is he prays for wisdom, which is the smartest prayer he could make, and finds out that, well, now God's going to give you everything because you prayed for wisdom. So everything will be yours. And then Solomon ends up worshiping false gods and sleeping with a bunch of women. And, you know, I mean, even Solomon, you know, had a tough time keeping his hands, you know, out of the stew, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, the other thing, and I want to read this and then ask one question in this, because I think your whole book, I have not read it all, but by the way, when did it come out? Where is it? Where's your book right now?
My book here, I'll show it to you. It looks like this.
Beautiful.
It's got blue tangled yarn on the front. It's Michelle Pilar. It's on Amazon, my website. I mean, it's anywhere, but most people buy it on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's Michelle with one L and Pilar with two, like pillar, but right. Yeah, it's called Untangled. And but go ahead. What were you going to ask me?
If I might read a little bit from chapter one. I love this part. Yeah. It says, God meets helpless people every day who have no time to spare, no time to pray, no time to make it right, as when driving on frozen bridges and ice-paved roads at midnight. He wraps his arms around the chest of the doe just as she's ready to leap out in front of our cars. He stands with us when we're crumpled next to a hospital bed praying for our loved ones, or when we are on the gurney ourselves. And when we stand over a casket we never dreamed we'd stand over, he stands beside us. And yet again, the night our spouse leaves us, never to return, Jesus is there when we feel him and when we don't. Hmm. I have goosebumps right now. Like I need a coat and it's 90 degrees here in Michigan. But now I read that and I think, yes, he's always there, ever present. And one of the things that you said that was so striking to me in one of your interviews was, Lord, I know you, but I can't find you. And this is, I think, everything that you've been talking about to us here, which is we've got to know who God is and we have to show up. We can't say we're too busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. God meets helpless people every day who have no time to spare. He's not going anywhere. We've got to be the ones to prioritize and to say, I can't do it by myself. Cause man, when I do, look at the mess I've made behind me, look at the choices I've made, look where I've ended up. We finally have to get it and say, I can't do it on my own. Maybe there's something to this.
You know what? And one last thing is that all of that is so true. You know, I started in the ministry when I was 19.
Wow.
I was singing on the Maranatha Praise albums before you were even thinking about being born. It was in the early Jesus movement days when contemporary Christian music was just an embryo. So I was 19. I'm 65. Okay. And I wish I could grab everyone, you know, in their 20s, in their 30s, and even in their 40s, and just wrap my arms around them, because, you know, you say it makes you who you are today. That's a real popular saying, and it does. But boy, I wasted so much time, and I lost so much. And the thing is, you know, I always tell people, don't do what I did. Use me as a poster child of what not to do, because you don't get that time back and you don't always get a second chance. God can recreate and move you forward without doubt. But I think it's so sad that I kept having to lose so much in order to really come to God and say, okay, God, I'll do it your way. It always took loss in my life for me to become intimate with God and obedient with God, because he is good. Yes. It took me so much loss. I think I knew better. And I also think every time I made some of those crazy decisions, Beth, it was because I'd forgotten that God is good. Just for a minute, I thought he was cheating me out of something.
Yeah.
Just for a minute, I thought he doesn't have my best in mind. And so I would make a decision really based on that. And I'm ashamed to say that, really, but it's true, because if I really believed he was good, I wouldn't have made those decisions.
Wow.
So that, anyway, I hope that makes sense. If you're young, and God will pick you up every single time you fall down, but man, time is precious and you're young and beautiful. Don't waste it by doing your own thing.
And on that note, I don't know that we could actually end on anything better. Thank you for being here. And Untangled, you guys, is out there. I'm ordering it literally the second that I hang up with Michelle here. I'm going to read this book start to finish. And I know on your website as well that you have some sample chapters. You have videos, you have your Dr. Phil interview, you have this amazing, your journey is out there. So I encourage everybody to go out and just heed these words of advice, of wisdom, because a life well lived throughout all of the bumps ends up, like you said, right where it's supposed to be, because God picks you up. So, yeah. Michelle, thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you so much, as always, for joining me here. Wasn't Michelle amazing, right? How transparent, how she shared her story of trauma, of pain, of coming through it, scripture, getting to know God, his story. I mean, just everything about what she shared is a story I think we each have. I think we each have so much that we come through. And when we get to the other side, if we don't give up and we say, thank you, Jesus, thanks for getting us through this. Thanks for turning us into a little closer to the people that we have always been meant to be and to become. Thank you for growth and change and transformation. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for chasing us relentlessly in pursuit of the relationship that you have with each of us. And also, Lord, thank you for bringing people into our lives like Michelle, who is just an incredible force, an incredible story, an incredible woman who has this gifting, right? This beautiful voice that God gave her. She uses that. She uses her gifts of ministry, of lifting and empowering other women. You guys, get her book, Untangled, The Truth Will Set You Free. Thank you, as always, for being here. I love sharing this time with you. Go to my website, bethfisher.com. If you would like to be on the show, if you know anybody that would be a good fit for the show, I'm always open to that. You guys know I love people, love meeting new people. If I can help you in any way with regard to coaching, I do personal and professional development coaching. I have a certified holistic coaching certification. I'm on my way to get an international certified federation, right? International Coaches Federation. So I coach people because I like helping people get through life, knowing who they are, showing up in their stories authentically each and every time, each and every day. So if I can help in any way, bethfisher.com, that's where I am. And you guys, reminder to be remorseless on your journeys. Peace.